Hey, welcome everybody. Theme song Money, that's what we're going to be talking about. My name is Lo Wai Tan and I'm the host of your show Your Money and Your Mindset, where I am a champion and advocate of people using what's between their ears to create their future. Now, it's not just about the money, it's about the health, the wealth and the happiness, the good relationships, the great health that you've got to enjoy your cash. So before anything else, I'd like to welcome all you people out there on Stickum Blog TV, Real Coaching Radio TV, Network Receiver, Internet Radio, Radio Roku, New Media Radio TV, and our partner Stitcher. You're probably watching this on your Android or iPhone and thinking, how can I make more than just a living out of what I'm doing? And it may not be what you're going to in terms of your job, but you probably have some very special talents and skills that you don't know that you can monetize. So have you ever thought about how you can use your passion, what you're passionate about, and to make a difference in the world? And the bonus is you make a truckload of money doing what you love. You see, through no fault of our own, we're told to lower our sights, and so that when we think about the idea of perhaps our talents can be monetized, people say, no, forget about it. Don't aim too high. Just get on with your life. I don't believe that to be true. And certainly my guest that I'm bringing on today doesn't believe it to be true, because he's in the business of uncovering your secret hidden talents, shining it up, buffing it up, and then showing you how you can make a truckload of money. So my guest is Mr. Benjamin Harvey from Sydney. Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited about the show today because you are in the business, being the founder of Authentic Education, Live Your Love. I love that tagline, Live Your Love, that you go around getting people to recognize what is it that they're really good at, and they dismiss as being, oh, it's just something I do. And then basically tarting it up so that they can make more than a living with it. And they go away a lot happier than when they came to see you. Is that right?
That's a pretty good summary of it. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. We really do assist people to find what they value, find what inspires them, and show them that there is, in fact, a system for doing it. A lot of people have been convinced, as you pointed out, that you can't do what you love. You have to be part of the system. You've got to get a job. You've got to follow the rules of society. And at the end of the day, I think we were born for something greater. I think we were destined for something more magnificent. And I think given the right system and the right strategy, anybody can achieve financial freedom really doing what they love. I'm absolutely certain of that.
All right, you're going to put your money where your mouth is, okay? And you people out there in Blog TV and Real Coaching Radio and Stickum, you can actually Skype in and type in and be in the chat room and ask Ben any question and go, really, Ben, do you mean that? So these are my circumstances. So I invite you guys out there, you're watching, I know you're watching, to hop on and ask Ben any question and pick his brain, because I will be picking his brain. Now, before we go into how you get that system going, it sounds like it's pretty scientific and pretty logical stepwise. But before that, we want to know who Benjamin Harvey is, really.
Well, I am someone who, I guess, loves seeing people discover that greatness inside. I love seeing people get on purpose. Many years ago, I wasn't so fortunate. I went through about 4.5 years of depression, and I managed to get myself in an extreme amount of debt. I ended up getting up to about $130,000 of bad debt before I was able to turn it around. And while I was in that debt and in that depression, I'd also managed to get myself up to about 130 kilos of weight. So it wasn't the best time for me. I was getting results. They just weren't the type of results that I was looking for, but I was definitely getting some results. From the outside, they probably look like fairly bad results, but I like to be a high achiever, whether they're good or bad. And I made a decision to turn it all around. I made a decision to go get educated. I made a decision to really find out what I love and really go out there and do something with my life. Because my brother actually sat me down about 6 years ago in the peak of all of my traumas, and he let me know that I've only got about 2,500 weekends left on planet Earth, which was quite a shocking statistic to find out. I wasn't aware of that, and I did the maths, and sure enough, it was pretty much spot on. And 2,500 weekends isn't really that many. It's not an infinite sum, and it tends to shock you out of your system a little bit. So having been unemployed and depressed and overweight and broke, I managed to turn my life around and start up. So I managed to turn it all around and really make an income now, sharing with people the strategies that I use to find my own wealth path and really create a lifestyle of complete freedom. And that's really what's important to me, is making sure that I have a life of freedom. And I'm sure that, you know, during this interview today, I'm going to be sharing as many tips as I can about how I did that. But that's really what my background was. And in order to pull myself out of it, I had to go and study a whole range of things. So I went all around the world. I studied with Sikhs, seers, shamans, skeptics, psychos, sales reps, strategists, scientists, and anything else that started with an S or a silent P. I pretty much went out there and researched with them and studied some phenomenal modalities and some phenomenal technologies, really, because I just was quite broken and had to find a way to get out of that. And having done all that study all over the world, I finally realized that at the end of the day, what it all comes back to is being worthy. That's what the whole thing's about. It's about valuing yourself.
And being worthy. Now, that's an important point. Hey, just before, I'm sorry to just cut in there, but we're being featured on Stickum. So can you please say hi, Ben, just wave. To you people out there in Stickum who are watching the show live, thank you very much. Stick around.
Hello, Stickum people.
Hello, Stickum people. Now, what you've said, probably a lot of people can identify with, you know, the maybe I'm not as trim and toned as I could be. Maybe I could have a bit more money in my bank account. Who says that? Everybody. And maybe I don't have to hit rock bottom and be in debt, overweight, desperately unhappy, and mentally unhealthy as well. We talk about depression. And then you actually, sounds like you picked yourself up when you got to the stage where, like, hell, I've painted myself into a corner. What have I got to lose? Was it that, or was it like the the debt collector being knocking on your door?
Well, there's actually a few factors. I really like the concept that the bigger the pit, the more you have to put in it. So I think unconsciously I just dug the biggest pit possible for my life, and now I've got plenty of room to put all the good things. I don't believe you have to hit rock bottom in order to make go of your life, but a few people do try that strategy out. I think really the turning point for me was people wouldn't lend me any more money, and I had to make a decision to stop borrowing money off people. And also, in my heart, I'd always known that I wanted to do something. I'd always had an idea of what I wanted to achieve. I was always quite clear on the fact that I wanted to open up an education facility. I wanted to help people and teach people. And I've been talking about this for years. Even when I was depressed, I used to talk about this. So I think it was more just a time to realize my mission in life. It was just time to actualize my purpose and get out there and do it. And it just I guess, took a bit of courage and a bit of kind of the concept of let's find out, and just threw caution to the wind and had a go. Because I was in quite a good job when I got out of my depression. I was working for a deco, and I was earning quite a lot of money in recruitment. And so my comfort was quite good when it came to finances, when I'd finally turned my life around. But going to work every day, working 60 hours, 70 hours a week some days, making somebody else wealthy, it just didn't feel right to me. It wasn't. It definitely wasn't aligned with my highest values. And so every day I went to work, even though I was earning good money, I was getting more and more depressed. And so I think it's that there was no exact tipping point, except for the fact that one day I was getting ready to go to work, and I got all of my business shirts, and I put them in a washing machine, and I happened to put them in a washing machine with fluorescent yellow pants. And as I pulled all my shirts out of the wash, they'd all been dyed this funny color yellow. I remember I pulled them out of the washing machine and put them all in the bathroom to soak, in the bathtub to soak out the color. And as I was looking at the shirts, I decided that day that I was going to quit. So I went into work and quit because I had no shirts to wear. that was actually the turning point for me, was dyeing my shirts yellow. So you never really know what's going to make you change direction and start living your purpose. For me, it was yellow dyed shirts.
So doing the laundry actually got you to the point where you thought, man, this is just not for me, being in the corporate cage, even though you were being paid good money. Now, that is something I want to talk about, because a lot of people live in a situation of what I call golden handcuffs. The money's too good mm-hmm. to leave, but it's not enough to get you to where you want to go. So it's like a cycle. And I reckon that a lot of people then medicate themselves to stop feeling unhappy, because on one hand, they're receiving paid income that is reliable, but they know in their heart of hearts, like you said, it takes courage to step out of your comfort zone, to go and do something that you've always been passionate about. But then somebody might turn around and say, I like underwater basket weaving. How do I make a living out of that?
Easily.
All right, here you go, Ben.
There's kind of two ways of that people think. Millionaires, what they do is they go out and they look for opportunities that can make money. So they're typically looking for markets where they're large in number and easy to reach, and that they can provide products to that have been analyzed and they're going to work. Now, billionaires think a little bit differently. Billionaires go out and do whatever they want, and they make it make money. So it's a slightly different shift in thinking. So I guess you kind of got to say, well, am I going to think like a millionaire or think like a billionaire? If you're going to think like a billionaire, then underwater basket weaving is for you. If you're going to think like a millionaire, then underwater basket weaving probably isn't for you. What I've found in all the people that I've worked with is, if you choose to think like a billionaire and you have the persistence and the mindset to continue going and not give up in any way, shape or form, it's bound to work. I mean, there's a guy up in Central Coast. He makes about $800,000 a year building sandcastles inside shopping centers, right? So this guy just happens to love building sandcastles. He can make mermaids and all this. I mean, he gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars just to make sandcastles. So I guess you can make money doing anything, truly. I know of a lady over in London who happens to produce handmade knitted tea cozies, and she makes about $400,000 a year as well. So I guess anything will make you put the right amount of energy and attention to it, and just follow the principles of business, value creation, market it, sell it, you know, deliver the value and then manage the money. You can be successful doing anything you want. It's more about the belief you have that backs it up and the values that you hold. Because a lot of people out there are wanting to make money, so they go and buy a stock market course. And as they're buying a stock market course, they try it out for a couple of months, but sure enough, they don't make any money in the stock market. So then they go ahead and they buy a real estate course. And so they try the real estate thing out, and sure enough, they don't make any money real estate. And then they try the internet, the e-books. I mean, they just keep testing these things out. And the problem with these types of strategies is, the reason they're not working is because the people aren't aligning to their value system. They're not aligning to what they value truly doing in life, and they're not honoring what is unique about them.
Okay.
And so they struggle to build wealth.
Hang on a sec. We're also being featured on Blog TV. So, hey, it's only Stickum, but Blog TV now. So, Ben, say hi to those people on Blog TV. So, I welcome you, everybody.
Hello.
Yay. Now, Ben is actually talking about something that's probably near and dear to your hearts, folks, and that is, how do I make extra cash? That's the starting point. And he's talking about basically getting you in a right headspace before anything else. Now, you talked about people who jump from, you know, buying a course on how to make money on the stock market to how to flip properties, etc. And what I'm hearing is that the one common denominator is the person, yeah? It's not the course, because the course does work for other people. It's that person.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about getting people aligned with their highest values. That can be a pretty daunting concept for somebody who doesn't even know where to start. You know, their values, without being facetious, it might be, you know, I prefer one sort of pizza to another. How do you get them to that stage where there's a bit more substance to what they're after?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both logical thinking and emotional experiencing. I think people really, when you're looking at this, it's a heart-centered decision I think people need to make. they need to connect in and use their intuition, but also start to do more practical things, like have a look at their bookshelf and see what sort of books they own. Have a look at the sort of conversations they're having. I mean, what do they typically talk about? If you're sitting at a party and you're talking to this person, where does the conversation always end up? If I was going to get some advice from you, what advice could you give me easily? What sort of questions do you like answering? And another thing that you can look for is the things that frustrate you quickly, because the things that frustrate you quickly will identify quite rapidly what it is that you value, because it's very hard for me to frustrate you without going against your values. So the writing is on the wall. I always imagine that if you were to vanish and we sent a detective into your house and the detective was to have a look around your home, how quickly could they tell me what it is that you love? I mean, I can see there's a I can also see there's a copy of It Looks Like You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. So I can see all the different books across the bookshelf. So if I just had a quick skim across your bookshelf, I could pretty quickly see that you're quite into mindset, you're quite into healing and well-being. Obviously, you like wealth and finances. So it wouldn't take me long before I can understand what your values truly are. And you have, by the looks of it, turned this into a lifestyle now. So just think about it. If you went into a bookstore, what sort of book would you buy? And then based on that concept, you can start to extract your values. I think looking at your values is a lifetime, a lifetime journey. I think it was Franklin Covey that said you should spend as much time as possible finding what's important to you and spend the rest of your life refining that. And I think that's really a critical element, because we tend to always have time for things that are important to us, and we tend to dedicate our life to things that are important to us. And as Nietzsche said, a man with a why can withstand any how. So if you have a really big why out there, like basket weaving, and the reason you weave baskets underwater is because you really love looking after your family and taking them to Disneyland, then I guarantee you, you're going to make money weaving baskets. There's no two things about it. We do live in quite a bizarre quantum soup of pure potentiality, and we can really create a whole range of different things with our life. So first of all, find what you value, and second of all, just have a strong enough belief that it's possible. You know, that's the main concept. You need to entertain possibility. And then practically start to take the actions. When I deal with people, I often talk about having an alignment between the head, the heart, and the hand. And the head is the beliefs that you have, what you tell yourself every day. Because our beliefs, they're never true, right, or real. I mean, everyone's got a whole range of beliefs. What's most important to me is, do those beliefs work? That's really what I'm interested in. I often talk about a group of women in Namibia. They're called the Himba women in Namibia. And these women, they wear a red-orangey paint on their body. They don't have any clothing whatsoever. So they're completely naked, covered head to toe in this red-orange paint. But they have these little anklet bracelets, these sort of brass and copper anklet things that cover up their ankles. And their belief is that their ankle is the most intimate part of the body. Now, for us to look at that, we think that's quite strange. We're thinking, where are your clothing and what's with these bracelets on your ankles? So their husband is the only person who gets to see their ankles, and they're only allowed to see them once they're wed. Now, if they were to look at us, they'd think we're crazy because we're wearing clothes and we don't cover our ankles. So at the end of the day, you've really got to continue to observe, what do you believe to be true that isn't? And one of the great questions that your viewers might want to write down is that question: what do you believe to be true that isn't? Because I like to sit and look at all areas of my life. So in the area of my finances, what do I believe to be true that isn't? In the area of my relationships, what do I believe to be true that isn't? Because until you challenge your beliefs, you won't realize that you just made them up, that they're all just creations inside your neurology. And until you start breaking down those beliefs, you'll be trapped by them. Beliefs really are prisons that we live in, and our values are experienced with inside our beliefs. So the very first thing is the head, getting the thoughts under control and what you believe. The second thing is the heart, you know, how you feel about things. And this is really where your values center comes in. The feelings that you experience from day to day are created by what you value. So what you deem to be important will generate feelings inside your body, will generate emotions, will generate your experience. So if you can get your beliefs in your head to align with your heart and what you value, then you're sort of two-thirds of the way there. The last thing you've got to do is the hand, which is taking the right type of action, taking an aligned action. So if you don't have either of those three in complete alignment, you're going to have a lot of trouble doing what you love. Like, you can really imagine all you want that you really want to own a nice fancy car, and you can feel the feelings of a fancy car, but if you don't go out there and generate income, chances are you're not going to get a nice fancy car. So a lot of people think that you can get away without taking action. That's the height of insanity. And I know a lot of people who viewed that movie, The Secret, still sit at home in the lounge room, visualizing a Ferrari, wondering why the Ferrari hasn't shown up in their driveway, which to me is completely insane. You've got to visualize it, you've got to feel it, but you've got to generate value in the marketplace and really help people improve their life if you're ever going to generate the income to own what you want. So really it's about having the head, the heart, and the hand in alignment and just doing self-discovery, really discovering more and more about yourself. I don't think that people need to develop themselves per se. I think they need to really look inside and discover who they truly are, because everybody has a heart-centered fortune. They really do.
Okay,
and if they're willing
fortune.
To look into it,
yeah, sorry. I just want to ask you that heart-centered fortune now. You tied it in earlier before I sort of asked about the stigma and so forth, that you said it is the person's sense of self-esteem or self-worth that underpins everything. You can have the head, the heart, the hand, information operating at an intellectual level, but I'd like a comment on how you see the fact that if we have very little self-respect or a lot of self-doubt, that it's not going to go anywhere. You can have all the information in the world and you're sitting on it. But I think the basic tenet is that how do I feel about myself and how do I see myself is the main thing. Do you work with your clients on that?
Yeah, I guess one of the greatest epiphanies I ever had about money was when I realized that out there, I guess the standard definition of money is a means of exchange, a means of fair exchange where you exchange money, which is easily accounted for, and you can clearly see the amount of exchange you're giving, amount of value, for something out there in the marketplace that's valuable. When I looked deeper into it, it happened to me about 3.5 years ago. I was sitting at my desk, and I had this epiphany, and I thought to myself, what if money was just a form of love? So I had this whole concept that what if money was actually a form of love? And I looked into it and I started to get a tear coming out of my eye. It really hit me. And I realized that money is the transference of appreciation. So the more that people appreciate what you do for them, the more they're going to transfer money to you. Now the problem is as you receive this appreciation, if you think about it, the highest transference of money on planet Earth is for people that solve problems. So my get-rich-quick scheme for everybody who's out there listening right now, if you want to get rich quick, you have to solve more problems. That's it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a quick buck. You just have to solve more problems in the world, and you will earn more money. Because if you're solving problems, more people will be appreciating you. And the more people that appreciate you, the more they're going to show you that appreciation in the form of money. So when you realize that money is the transference of appreciation, and what you need to understand is that if you don't appreciate yourself, when people give you appreciation, you'll get rid of it because you don't want any reminders that you are worthy of being appreciated and that you're worthy of love. So I know a lot of people out there that make a huge amount of money, millions and millions of dollars, but because they don't value themselves and they don't appreciate themselves and they don't feel worthy, they get rid of that money and go into debt. I was in $130,000 worth of debt. In fact, it peaked out at about $170,000 once I'd gone through all my education and whatnot. And what I realized is as I was earning quite a substantial income, I was still staying in debt. So I wasn't paying the debt off at all. And in hindsight, when I reviewed that, I realized that the reason I held on to that debt for so long, and I had this debt for years and years and years, maybe 7, 8 years or something, very, very long time I was in this debt for, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. And I realized that the debt was a great reminder that I wasn't worthy of love. So by keeping the debt, I could remind myself that I didn't feel like I deserved love from anyone else or love from myself from that matter. So I really had a very low self-worth and a very low appreciation level of what I could do. As I started to appreciate myself more and work on myself more and truly start to look in at what value I provide and why I deserve love, then my debt started to decrease. My debt started to transform. And as I got more and more aligned to my inner worth and more aligned to what I value doing, working every day on it, my debt pretty much vanished. And then pretty soon, my bank accounts started to appreciate. They started to have more appreciation go into them, and then they started to gain interest, which is a form of appreciation. So as I appreciated myself more, the universe in kind responded to that vibration. And I don't mean to be a woo-woo about it, but the simple fact is if you don't feel like you deserve good things, you're going to get rid of anything that reminds you that you're worthy. So you won't have nice things at your house. You'll get rid of all the money you've got. You will just move it away from you because you don't want that constant reminder. Now, as I learned how to appreciate myself more, and one of the things your viewers can do, I mean, a very simple technique that I did was I wrote out 500 reasons why I'm already worth $20 million, which is a really interesting list to write, but it transformed my life. You write down 500 reasons why you're already worth $20 million. And the day I did that, it was quite strange. I'd started up in business and I was doing quite well for myself. We were generating in the vicinity of about $30,000 to $40,000 a month in revenues by then. So we'd built up a successful business over a number of years, and I was still working on myself. And then I finally wrote this list out. I was still in a little bit of debt, by the way. So I was earning quite a lot of money still, and I was still in debt. And I wrote this list out, and the very next month, I made $180,000, which is a ridiculous amount of money to make in a month. I mean, for me, that's a phenomenal amount of money. And it just blew my mind. I didn't do anything different. I didn't serve any more clients. I didn't speak to any more people. I didn't make any more sales. The only thing that was different was I'd written this list. And so I sat down to think about what has actually occurred. And the reason list writing is so profound is that as you're writing lists and reasons out, what's happening inside your neurology is you are zapping back and forth over a specific neural pathway. So you're sending activity, electricity, chemicals back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's not long before your brain starts to think, what's going on in this little pathway here? What's happening on this road here where this thought keeps going back and forth? And if it keeps going back and forth and back and forth, the brain says whatever is happening here must be important. So we're going to have to prioritize it because the mind deals in what's important. And if you can prove to your brain that something is important, it can manifest it virtually instantly. So the key and the secret, in fact, importance is the key that sets the mind free. So the more important you make anything, the faster you can create it. So by writing out 500 reasons why you're already worth $20 million, your brain can't help but go, oh my goodness, this guy's had this thought 500 times in a row. This must be important. And all the alarm bells go off and they activate the nervous system and say, hey, we missed something. Ben is finally letting us know that $20 million is important to him. So what the body and the mind and the soul and the spirit does is it just goes out there and creates it instantly. So this is, I've done research into psychology and human development and all of this field of inspiration and attraction and for about 18 years now. And truly the single most important discovery I made is that importance is the key that sets the mind free. And if you can make things important in your life, they will literally show up. And the fastest way I've found of doing that is list writing.
So I mean, list writing,
you can't believe.
Is what you do, literally.
Yeah, you can't believe my disappointment of traveling around the world, studying some of the most incredible techniques that have ever existed, from making clay buildings out with Native American shamans and walking and stalking through the bushes and doing crystal therapies and sacred geometries and you name it, the hypnosis and the NLP, all of these incredible practices, to find out that the most effective thing on planet Earth is list writing. It's so disappointing because it's just so boring, but the fact is it works, and I've spent years literally studying about 67 different modalities and they all were fascinating. And I've got to tell you, the thing that I do more than anything else is list writing. That's it. List writing, visualization, meditation.
You said something else. So list writing, you basically spend time with yourself contemplating, obviously, your navel. But I mean it in a good way because that's the way we get in touch with who we really are. We don't have the noise outside. And I've sort of encouraged my viewers, sort of, throw away your television, it's pointless. It just sucks the energy out of your day, and also it turns your brain to mush because it tells you what to think. And I don't think we're put on this earth to be sponges in that way and just go with the flow. You also said meditation. Now, a lot of people will say that's a bit on the woo-woo side, but I find that it is an integral part of living, like you say, the authentic life. So how can you get somebody, or how can you encourage somebody and show them meditating is not like sitting cross-legged under a tree for hours on end?